722. Don't want to waste another second. CEO of SIH Southern Illinois Healthcare, Rex Buddies on the line. Rex, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. I am doing well, sir. And how are you?
Good, good. But a lot of other people concerned these mitigation, the new mitigation procedures went into place overnight, last night, midnight. You would not believe how many questions I've had for you this morning on my American Monument text line. Once I announced you were coming in, and they almost, on a singular issue, Rex, want to know, what about SIH? What about the caseload that you're seeing? Now, we see in Jackson County yesterday, the death of a 70-year-old male, 24 hours, there were 29 cases, Jackson County residents. Ironically enough, on the day that the governor was here announcing the rollback, one case in Jackson County. So we've seen a number go up. What have you seen at your facility?
We have seen lately the inpatient unit has been as busy or busier than any other time since this pandemic started. I know, I saw numbers this morning. We had 24 people in the hospital in our COVID units at Heron and Memorial in Carbondale. It's been as high as 28 in this week. And so we've got a lot of folks that have been hospitalized recently.
Now, the figures I have say ICU beds 62%, medical surge beds at 47%.
Yeah, we still have, and I think one of the things that's different, too, you mentioned the governor with the mitigation. They're not shutting the hospitals down like they did before. I think they understand that the hospitals can manage this thing. I think they understand, and I'm not just talking about SIH, I'm talking about the hospital industry, I think one of the fears before, too, that hospitals would be a source of infection because sick people are there. Well, no, it's not. The hospitals have done a great job of preparing and screening patients and screening their employees, and simply not the case, which is why they're not shutting the hospitals down like they did before, too. So we have full capacity. We have plenty of ICU beds and plenty of med-surg beds to handle people. Not that, we want them to be all filled up with COVID patients, for sure. We want this thing to get better.
And this is one of the ways, when you look at the active number of cases, 117 active cases. So when you do the math, we know that all 117 cases are not in facilities. And I think that's an important point to point out as well. When we talk about these mitigation efforts, which we're going to again in a moment, you touched on something that I think is very important. One, that this is not impacting, say, for instance, elective surgeries, I think is the best example.
Right. Yes. It is not impacting that. We have testing procedures in place to test the patients to make sure that the patients are safe before they come in for their elective surgeries. I think, we know that we can handle this, and it's perfectly safe to have your hip or your knee or what have you. And that's not being critical of the position that was taken before. Everybody's got to recognize that starting back in February, we had something let loose on us that no one's ever experienced. No one, I'm pretty sure, that's alive on Earth now has gone through something like this.
Right.
So we were uber conservative back then. We know more how to treat the disease, and we know how to isolate it better inside our facilities. So there's been no curtailing of services.
All right, let's take a look at this. Bars, no indoor service. All outside bar service closes at 11. All bar patrons should be seated at tables outside. No ordering, seating, or congregating in a bar. Bar stools should be removed. Tables should be 6 feet apart. No standing or congregating indoors or outdoors while waiting for a table or exiting. No dancing or standing indoors. Reservations required for each party. No seating of multiple parties at one table. When it comes to restaurants, no indoor dining or bar service. Outdoor dining closes at 11 p.m. Outside dining tables should be 6 feet apart. No standing or congregating indoors or outdoors while waiting for a table to exit. Reservations required. No seating of multiple parties at one table. And when it comes to meetings, social events, gatherings, limit to less of 25 guests or less, or 25% of the overall room capacity. No party buses, and gaming and casinos close at 11 p.m. and are limited to 25% capacity, and following mitigations for bars and restaurants if applicable. Now, these effects start today and will remain in place for a minimum of 14 days. And then we'll start counting. We'll start seeing these mitigation efforts. Now, we talk about this, the social aspect, the tables and things along this line, but really, when you look at the reporting, this boils down to almost a singular issue. Masks. But part of the problem here, I think, Rex, is a psychological problem. when we started this, we told them, people were told they didn't need them. And here's, you've seen this research. When people hear something first, they continue to believe it in spite of other evidence. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about mass or a political story. And I think that created a problem for everyone whenever that profound change was put in effect.
Well, and you know, I think one of the realities of that, Tom, is, again, we were dealing with something we didn't fully appreciate. And that's nobody's fault. That's just the reality of something new got let loose in the world. And also, a mad run on PPE in the United States, at least, because, you know, at the time we weren't producing a lot, enough of it in the United States, would have stripped the capacity from the places that we needed it the most. And, you know, it was a judgment call. But the reality is very simple. I think another factor too, Tom, I think a lot of people, because it got so much attention, very much think this is a nursing home disease. And our reality is 80% of our admissions have been from community spread, and only 20% of our admissions have been from people in, you know, in senior facilities and nursing homes. So this is the vast, vast, vast majority of our sick patients have come from community spread. And as we've all, you and I have talked about this in the past, it's wear a mask. And it's wash, you know, we were told to wash our hands in kindergarten. And wear the mask. This isn't you're not making a political statement if you don't wear a mask. You're making a statement, but it's not a political statement. And you are endangering yourself. You are endangering the people around you. You could become a super spreader. You have to keep in mind a good many people that get the virus don't even know that they've got the virus. So if you're running around without a mask on, you could be spreading this to a lot of people. And my director of communication, Rosalind Rice, who's, you know, Roz is a gifted gal, she had the best line I've heard so far. She said, "The enemy is the disease and not each other. So let's focus on the steps we've got to take." And you know what? I don't like wearing a mask personally. I don't like wearing it. I'm claustrophobic. It drives me nuts. I wear my mask.
Rex Budde's joining us. He is the CEO of SIH. You know, when it comes to moving forward here, you know, we do see something that's changing out there, and that is the inherently deadly nature of this. It's like it's mutating, and I point out a study that was done in New York make sure I've got the medical school correct. The Grossman School of Medicine in New York, the death rates of hospitalized C19 death. Now, this is patients. Down substantially, was 25.6. This is hospitalized patients, to 7.6%, according to research located earlier this week. But still, you think, well, that's good news. It is, unless you're the 7.6%.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I do think that what we've learned over the last 6 months is helping us treat the disease more effectively. So that has had an impact. You know, I'm not clinical. You know, and there are far smarter, you know, clinical people in my organization that could answer this better than me. But I do think it's the knowledge we've acquired over the last 6 to 9 months on how to treat this thing that is having an impact, and have become much more successful in treating the disease. But, you know, the average length of stay, if you get this in the hospital, is still almost 6 days. And we've seen a range from 1 day to 32 days. And so, you don't want this. I mean, you just don't want this. And, you know, the most recent numbers I saw from the university, I have to give them some kudos to the folks at the university, because we have testing sites over there. We're only seeing about a 4% positive rate on the university. So they're really working hard. You know, this isn't the kids are spreading it all over the place or it's the nursing homes. It's in the community, and we all have a responsibility to deal with this.
And, well, by the way, since Rex is talking about this, and I noted this yesterday when I was looking over the numbers in Jackson County, females 5 in their 20s, 4 in their 30s, 3 in their 40s, 4 in their 50s. Males 6 in their 20s, 2 in their 30s, 2 in their 40s. So you see this when you're looking at this in another way. Now, here's another issue. And I have a hard time with this. So anything you've got to share with me on this. So I was talking to Cinder Fowler. They're bringing these new mobile labs in. At the same time, I can read a story and say it says the reason we have higher positive test numbers is because we're having more tests, while at the same time saying we can drive down the number by having more tests. I struggle with the duplicity of those two statements.
I think what, you know, and I think what they're talking about, obviously, I think people are, some are being far more sensitive to, boy, I got a cough, I don't feel quite right, I'm going to go get tested. And then, but there are good, so that's going to naturally, it's a good thing. It's going to drive up the number because people are being a bit more sensitive, or at least some people are being more sensitive to what their symptoms are. You know, it's math. There's a numerator and a denominator. If we tested every single human being in society, then you'd have a true understanding of what the infection rate was, right? And if you're looking at simple math, if everybody went in and got tested, and we had people that didn't think they have it, well, then, you know, that likely could help drive the number down. Now, the other side of that coin is there's a high percentage of people that never show symptoms with this virus. So you could go in and get tested and find out you got it or had it or got it. And that's not a bad thing either, because then at least you know you got to be super careful around everybody that you're carrying the virus right now. So I do think it gets a bit confusing when we're throwing all those numbers around in calculations, but I do think people are being more sensitive and going in and get tested. And there have been some misunderstandings too. We will test anybody that wants to get tested. You do not have to be symptomatic. You simply have to call the hotline, get an appointment, and they're open from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. That number's, I'll say it real quick for everybody, 844-988-7800. And they're open from 8 a.m., 5 p.m., 7 days a week. Call the hotline, get an appointment. If you're nervous or whatever and you want to get tested, you can get tested. They're bringing the mobile units in so we can get people tested. I think there's a curve that once we get past just the people who think they're sick, it will start to drive that number down.
CEO of SIH, Rex Budde. Rex, we've got 30 seconds. Final thoughts from you as you look at the mitigation the next 14 days, trying to suppress these, get these numbers down again. Your final thoughts for today on this subject?
Yeah, you know, wear your mask. And other things, get your flu shot. Flu symptoms and COVID symptoms are very similar, and we don't want to fill the hospitals up with flu patients right now either. So if you wear your mask and wash your hands, not only will it help with COVID, it'll help with the flu. And get your flu shot.